We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi again, and welcome into Mel Tucker's Inside Zone, the weekly podcast here at the University of Colorado. I'm voice of the bus, Mark Johnson, along with the head coach of the Buffaloes. And man, do we have a treat today. I think, Coach, we've been doing this now for a couple of months, and we have talked with a lot of great football players and Buffalums. We're shifting gears a little bit here today, and when you and I found out who we're going to have on, let's just say it brought back some memories for both of us.
Yeah, it brought back a lot of memories. You talk about Philip Bailey and Earth, Wind, and Fire. Man, I think about when I had an afro back in the day, man.
when I had
hair back in the day, man. You know, only kid with my parents, man. You know, having those card parties, man, playing Bill West and backgammon and all that. Listen, Earth, Wind, and Fire back in the day. That was real, man. It took me all the way back.
Well, good stuff. And let's welcome in Philip Bailey from Earth, Wind, and Fire, who's a Denver guy and has history here at the University of Colorado. Phil, we appreciate you being on with us today.
Man, that's funny. Yeah, it's good to be here, man. I'm reminiscing myself, you know. marching band and the whole thing. You know, I was born and raised in Denver, as you guys said, and I went to University of Colorado for a couple of years and was playing in the marching band and stuff. I remember football games and stuff, you know. But fantastic. I remember that I was actually at marching band when Jimi Hendrix passed away. Mm. I remember exactly where I was and everything. We were having marching band practice.
Wow.
Man, that's incredible.
Talk about a moment in history there.
Man, Philip, do you consider yourself a buff?
Oh, yeah, for most definitely. Most definitely. Most definitely. When you guys came out this way a couple of years ago, I got a chance to go to one of the games, and it was one of the biggest treats of my life. I had my two grandsons on the field with me and stuff. You know, we were big time. You guys were playing USC.
Outstanding. Hey, now think back to your time here. You saw some pretty good football, and I believe you hear about the same time that Cliff Branch, the late Cliff Branch, was playing. So you got to have a few football memories, I would think, from being in the marching band and watching the Buffaloes.
Shoot, I remember, man. He was a hell of a runner, man. Uh-huh. Like, just a speedster, you know. And, that was like the highlight reel. back in those days.
Philip, how'd you end up at CU? How'd you end up enrolled here? What made you decide to come to CU? And then how'd you end up in the band?
Well, first, affirmative action. Like that was back in that day. And we were able to come. I went to Metro that first year, you know, and then me and my wife at that time, we came up there and we were with my son. He had just been born. And music has always been my thing from forever. And so I came up there, you know, playing in the band as a music major. Doing the marching band thing and all that. I was playing in the symphony and playing, learning mallet instruments and all that stuff. And then doing gigs on the side. We were always, always had bands and stuff, so we would be ripping and running and going here and two.
It says here that your mom said that you were singing before you were talking. Where'd you get your musical background from? Did it just come naturally, or was it someone in your family that kind of turned you on to it?
You know, I was never turned on. I was turned on when I was born, actually, for sure.
That's right.
I wasn't raised with my father, but I found out that he did have a avid passion for jazz, and even though he wasn't a musician or anything. My mother had a nice voice. I do remember that. But no aspirations, actually, for career in any of the music
sure.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's always been, I've been like a bee spot on to it, you know, like yeah. There never has been a time that I was like wondering what I was doing, where I was going to go, or what I was doing. I've just always been, you know, arrowed into following my music, my little, I call him my Pied Piper, you know. I got all this music inside, and I used to, you know, I just follow it.
Phil, how about Earth, Wind, and Fire then? To tell us about the genesis of the band. Where did the name come from? I think there were other guys from Denver, correctly, within the band. So kind of take us back and relive that for us.
Most definitely, man. And we, you know what? We actually recorded Got to Get You Into My Life up in Boulder.
Really?
Wow.
Yep, because when we got the opportunity to do it and everything, we were kind of on the road. And I remember we rehearsing it down at a hotel in Denver and stuff in a ballroom. And then I remember we went up to Boulder and recorded it. And then, you know, we recorded up there at Caribou Ranch, you know, several records up there.
Wow.
You know, close by. But, I was introduced to Maurice early in the 70s, you know, at a they came to Denver for a promotional tour, and the local band that I was playing with, we opened the show, and that's how we met. And later on, moved to Los Angeles that next year, following Perry Jones, who he was a promotion man for Warner Brothers, and a friend of ours there in Denver. And when they began the reform in Los Angeles that year, they asked me to be in the band, and then I got several of the members who were in my band in Denver. And so that was the genesis of the iconic Earth, Wind, and Fire, as everybody knows it. So, it's a kind of a Chicago Earth, Wind, and Fire connection.
Man, it's interesting how things come together. Some people say that Earth, Wind, and Fire was once dubbed as the Black Beatles, which is obviously can be taken as a compliment. How do you feel about that?
Oh, you know, it's definitely an honor to be mentioned in that way. You know, for us, man, we've always just been going forward. When Maurice asked me, and Maurice and Verdine asked me if I wanted to be in the band, I said on one condition. And they said, "What's that?" I said, "I want to be in the best band in the whole world."
There you go.
And so now, you know, we're getting the Kennedy Honors, you know, this year, first black band ever, you know, we've gotten so many different accolades and played for, you know, several presidents and, you know, played for Barack Obama, you know, several times. But yeah, man, it's we pinch ourselves. We're still sought after all over the world. We still tour the globe, and we work, you know, all the time. So still having fun, you know.
Awesome.
Pinching ourselves now at this point, you know, almost 50 years later, you know, we're still doing it.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
I got to tell you a little behind-the-scenes thing here, just so you know. So every week when Mel and I talk to somebody from the sports world, it's old hat for us. That's just part of our job. I walk into Mel's office here, and he's cranking Earth, Wind, and Fire, and he and I sat here and jammed for about 20 minutes before we got you on the phone just to warm up for this whole deal. And I'm wondering, you know, Phil, you think about you guys are just kids back in the 70s. You get this thing together. You're trying to make good music. And you just kind of touched on it. But I wonder, as you sit here today and you look back, Earth, Wind, and Fire is iconic. It's legendary. Does it kind of resonate or sink into the impact that you guys have had all these years later?
Well, you know, it's an extreme honor and a blessing, you know, privilege, you know, for us, you know, to whom much is given, much is required, you know. Right. And, you know, we just young men, we loved music. We love music, and we would have done this if we had never gotten paid a dime, you know, for it. But, you know, we were blessed. And you know what? Really, we wanted to make music, as Maurice, his whole statement was always to make music that made a difference and music that rendered a service to humanity. You know, so it's really great, you know, now receiving the Kennedy Honor and the whole thing, that the music has made a difference and it's resonated, you know, in the minds and hearts of people in a positive way. So that's a great thing.
Phil, you mentioned affirmative action, and then you mentioned, you know, the Kennedy Award and the first black band. You know, back in the day, what were some of the challenges that you guys faced in terms of being a black band and in the industry and music and, you know, big business and trying to make it? I'm sure you had some stories and maybe some frustrations at some point.
Well, you know, we were trailblazers, really.
Yep.
And, you know, Warner Brothers took, we were the first black group on the Warner Brothers label. And, you know, shortly thereafter, Clive Davis, who was so much a part of the success of Earth, Wind, and Fire, you know, really caught the vision, and we were on Columbia for many years with their support. Came up at a time where music really, it was one of the only entertainment go-tos, and so people were still, you know, buying records, and you know, fortunately for us, you know, 200 million records later, you know,
wow,
still,
wow.
We're still very, very thankful that, you know, we came up at a time where people actually bought the record.
Don't just download it; you actually had to buy the record.
You actually had to buy the record.
Philip, who influenced you? Who were your musical influences?
Man, I'm a big jazzer, man. Always have been from a small kid. I was always enamored with the jazz and bebop and, you know, the that whole genre of music. I actually grew up wanting to play drums more than singing. Singing was just something that I could do. And it was later, being in Earth, Wind, and Fire, that I got out to Earth, Wind, and Fire actually playing drums. Out to Los Angeles, rather, and it was when I was chosen to be in Earth, Wind, and Fire that I, you know, had to. I made a conscious effort to make my focus more, you know, vocals, because me and Maurice, you know, had something to do, something to say. But, yeah, I still play, you know, drums and Latin percussion and kalimba and studying keyboards. I played bass in junior high school. And music's always been a very natural part of who I am.
All right, so you're talking about being a drummer. And that would lead us. You had that great collaboration with Phil Collins. Was that the connection, the drums, or how did that whole union come about?
Well, he was a big fan of what we were doing too, and the Phoenix Horns, who were our horn section, actually played with him on a record and on the Susu Studio record, and was actually touring with him. And when they came to Los Angeles, I went to the show. We met and. I was in the process of working on my second solo project, and one thing led to another, and Phil ended up producing that record, Chinese Wall. And we wrote Easy Lover at the end of the session and threw it on there, and the rest was history.
Wow.
So often, Phil, that, you know, the big-time entertainers and music or, you know, actors and the pro athletes are—they're kind of running the same circles, and there's kind of a lot of interaction. Were there some pro football players or some NBA basketball guys that you guys would hang out with back in the day?
Oh yeah, well you know me and Alex are friends, Alex English.
Yep.
Wow. And you know my time, I moved back to back to Denver. You know, during the 80s while I was doing that stuff with Phil Collins. And, you know, in back in that period of time, you know, I went to a lot of games and stuff like that. But, yeah, man, we, you know, of course, us and Jim Brown, we have history. And
yep.
Me and Dr. J, you know, have
history man.
Together, you know.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, man, you know, you figure that we've had an opportunity because music and sports are, you know, that entertainment factor. But, yeah, I've, you know, done things for – in fact, you know, I was just – we were just in south of France doing something for a birthday thing for Magic, you know.
Wow.
Friend of ours, you know, and – Yeah, so everybody kind of runs into everybody a lot.
Are you kind of amazed the way that here we are, like you said, 50 years later, and you're as popular today as you were back then, and there's such a hunger for that product that you guys were producing back in the 70s?
Especially now because there's, you know, like a band is a rarity now, you know. You know, like they actually are playing all that, you know.
You know, Phil, it's interesting you mention that because Mel and I were actually right before we got you on the line, we were talking about what you guys are doing. You think back to the 70s and yourself and Genesis and Aerosmith, and just go down the list of the great bands back then. You guys are creating music. I mean, you're playing all the instruments, you're writing the stuff, you're creating the music. And now, like you said, you kind of chuckle, they're not bands anymore. And music's a formula, an algorithm. How do you view modern music now compared to the stuff that you guys are creating?
Well, you know, it's coming back, you know, and, you know, there are, you know, it's not true that there are no bands anymore, you know, because they're, but, I guess there's just a lot of different ways to express yourself now, you know, besides the traditional ways that we knew back in the day, but, yeah, you know, we get a chance to mix it up every now and then with a lot of the, you know, the younger artists. I did some stuff, you know, just a little while ago with Travis Scott, you know, on his project, and it's interesting, you know, for us who actually cut our teeth doing it a certain way and now mixing up with these young musicians and stuff, you know, who have a different spin, a different way of going at it, but they're still able to make music for their, you know, their fans, and you know that still resonates.
Every band member has a favorite song, I'm sure. My favorite of yours is Reasons.
All right. Yeah, you know what? I don't actually have, you know, what I would say that's my favorite song, you know, because, you know, I was a contributor in many of the hits that we've written over the years.
Right.
And I don't know, their songs are kind of like your kids, you know, you just, you know, I don't know if I have a favorite, but, you know, I think, you know, That's the Way of the World, you know, it's one of the iconic songs that resonates, you know, always, you know, keeps the heart beating.
Is there one you really enjoy performing? Let's put it that way.
I enjoy all the songs, you know, be remiss, but I enjoy performing all the songs that we play every night, you know, because you're playing for different people and it's a different reaction, and and it's, you know, it's always good to you know, serve up the music that way.
Now I've got to ask you this. We touched on your solo career, and all the movies that you see when they talk about the bands, and at some point one of the band members gets an opportunity to go solo, and it creates a little bit of a friction with the band. Was that the case with you and Earth, Wind, and Fire, and when you had opportunities to go solo?
Not really. You know, I've had 10 solo projects. In fact, I have a new one out now called Love Will Find a Way.
Yep.
That's on Verb Records, I played with a lot of iconic musicians, with such as Christian McBride and Chick Corea and Kamasi Washington and Will I Am's on the record, Christian Scott and Robert Glasper. It's a project that we're extremely proud of. You know, it's called Love Will Find a Way. It's on Verve, you know, and it's my tenth solo offering. It debuted number one on the jazz chart when it came out, you know, a few months ago.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Phil, by the way, it sounds you're not slowing down at all. Does Philip Bailey ever consider retiring from music, or is this just something you're going to do as long as the good Lord will allow you to do it?
Well, you know, I don't even know what that R word is. You know, I don't know what I, you know, I'm in the studio right this second, you know, like I get up and I get with it, you know, so I'm studying my piano today and stuff. I have a, you know, session tomorrow and the whole thing. So, I, you know, man, this is what I would do. You know, just fortunately, I've been able to, it's taken me around the world and put me before, you know, great men and kings and queens, literally. And I'm talking to you guys, you know, all because I follow my passion. You know, music has been that.
Are you a better musician today than you were 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago?
Oh, I hope so. You know, I mean, you know, I'm still going at it, you know, still studying my craft and still playing with people that I respect and admire, that helped me to lift my game. And, you know, you got to be, you know, challenged.
What, do you remember a point in time when early in Earth, Wind, and Fire, when you guys were making music and making hits, and you started to think, man, I think we made it. I think we got this thing going.
Maybe I'm going to give it a couple more years.
You know what, Phil? I think you're going to be all right in this business.
I'm going to just give it two more years and see that. Then I started to get thinking, you know what? Maybe we should do this as a career.
Oh, that's great.
That's outstanding. What was important about September 21st, by the way? Why September 21st?
It sounded good. It sang better than September 22nd.
That's good.
You've been all over the world performing. Do you have a favorite venue, a stadium, or maybe a sentimental place where you performed that's special in your heart?
I mean, well, there's a lot of them, but you know, literally, and I'm not just saying this, Red Rocks is one of the most iconic, one of the most beautiful venues in the world. So we're very, very blessed, very honored to have that right there in our backyard, you know, in Denver. And I played there many, many times, and I love playing there.
You know, I got an idea here. What do you think about an Earth, Wind, and Fire concert at Folsom Field? What do you think about that?
Well, you set the stage and we'll do the concert.
We'll have our people talk to your people. Yeah, we'll get it worked out. I know that you have a foundation that's special to you. The musicisunity.org, and can you tell us a little bit about that and how that came about and what you guys are doing? And then also anyone who's interested in being a part of it, how can they pitch in?
Well, you could go to musicisunity.org and find out what we're doing and how to get involved. But Music is Unity is our foundation. My daughter and I, Trinity Bailey, who actually lives in Colorado now, in Denver. Our organization benefits foster youth who are aging out of the system.
Yep.
And it's a passionate a foundation, cause that we have, to really a portion of our funds, ticket sales, and all of our contributions go to Music is Unity, and then we fund organizations who are helping these folks on a daily with all their necessities. I have 7 children and 7 grandchildren, and I can't imagine them being out here in this world with no one to turn to and no one to ask for help or advice or support. And so, we're very passionate about helping as much as we can, these folks who, by no fault of their own, find themselves just, out there. When they're aging out of the system, many of them, not all of them, but too many of them, actually. And it's a very under-publicized charity segment of society as well. So you could go to musicisunity.org, find out what we're doing, and get involved.
Outstanding.
And that's good stuff. Yeah. We really appreciate your time. We know you're really busy. And just want to close by inviting you and your family to a CU game. Come check us out. Yeah, come check us out, man. Yeah. Guys are out there playing hard, and we love to have you here and host you and show you a good time and see this new CU football team.
Oh, I'd love to. I'd love to do it, Trinity will hook it up, and I'll be there, with bells on.
Well, Phil, I tell you what, this has been just a treat for both of us. And I know all of the listeners to Mel's podcast are going to enjoy this. God bless you. We appreciate you being on the Mel Tucker's Inside Zone.
Yeah, thanks, Phil.
All right, take care. The great Philip Bailey from Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah,
you were like a kid sitting over there, weren't you?
Yeah, wasn't that something, man? It took me back and just to, literally one of the greatest performers in the history.
Yeah.
Of this great country, man.
You figure that there's probably some, I think, some similar qualities. If you're a great great at anything, but in this case, a great artist, that probably correlates with being a great athlete. The drive, the determination.
Yeah, and you can really pick up on. Now he's always trying to get better. It seems like and he's there's no end to it. He's always looking to get better, improve, and then you ask him, when do you think that you made it? And he says, man, give me 2 more years. I'm like, come on. Yeah.
Here's the difference. His knees aren't as bad as yours. That's
right.
A difference,
that's
right?
That's a big difference.
Yeah,
that's
between
right.
The musician and the athlete. Great stuff. The great Philip Bailey played for the marching band here at the University of Colorado, Denver native, an iconic, obviously, figure in the music world. This is Mel Tucker's Inside Zone. The Buffaloes on the road this week against Washington State. That's a 5 o'clock game up in Pullman, Washington. Gary and I are going to hit the air at 3 o'clock, and, of course, it'll be on television as well. Coach, good luck this weekend.
Thank you so much.
All right, that's the head coach. I'm Voice of the Boss, Mark Johnson. Thanks for joining us this week on Mel Tucker's Inside Zone.